We're sponsored today by 9 Days and Nine Nights, a novel from New York Times bestselling author Katie Cotugno. Molly Barlow isn't that girl anymore. Now a business major in college, she's distanced herself from the people she hurt and the family she tore apart. But during a romantic European vacation with her new boyfriend, she runs into her ex and all the trouble she thought she left behind. Find 9 Days and Nine Nights wherever you buy books. I want to tell you about a special episode of The Longest Shortest Time, a show on the Stitcher Network. The Longest Shortest Time is a show about parenthood, but it's for everyone. I've been on this show. It was really fun. I got to hear questions from kids, talk to them about Batman and stuff. It was really, it was a pleasant time and a good time and a good show. Host Andrea Slenzi brings listeners stories about the surprises and absurdities of raising other humans and being raised by them. This week, they're kicking off a new season of shows with an extra special episode where listeners called in to tell their stories about giving birth in a car. Everybody knows, everybody who listens to this podcast, Beautiful Anonymous, you guys love people calling in, telling stories. This one sounds right up our alley. Who doesn't want to hear a story about giving birth in a car? Check out The Longest Shortest Time now. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app like Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Hello to all my footwear enthusiasts. It's Beautiful Anonymous. 1 hour, one phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun. And I'll get to know you and you'll get to know me.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Beautiful Anonymous. Podcast where it's phone calls, but it's more than just phone calls, isn't it? It's conversations, but it's more than that. It's people. It's real people telling real stories. It's just all about letting our guard down. And then it's a whole community of people listening. And once those things connect, it's turned into something very special in my life. Thank you all for listening, allowing it to happen. Thanks to everybody who's been supporting the Chris Gethard Show on True TV. Means a lot that so many of you guys are giving it a chance. I know it is far from the same vibe as Beautiful Anonymous, but a lot of you guys have checked it out. That means a lot to me. And also, I'm going out on the road. I'm doing a bunch of stand-up dates, chrisgeth.com. Thanks to everybody who's been checking that out and showing excitement about those things. Very cool of you. I wanted to mention last week's episode was a very hard one and a very fascinating one. It seemed like that was the vibe and all the online feedback I saw. I got tons of tweets. I saw a few people actually wrote articles and blog posts about that one. Seems like it got a cool dialogue going too. The Beautiful Anonymous Facebook group, there were a lot of people who really were wrapping their head around it. I thought this was a good representative comment. This was from Alicia. Alicia said, "This was hard. I continually challenged myself to think, what if this was a girl saying the same thing? That really brought it into perspective. It's not comfortable or expected to hear males talk about this, but if it were a female in the same situations, I'd be horrified. Caller, I am in awe of your bravery. Thank you for sharing a story we don't often hear, but need to." A lot of people, especially the last two stories, the caller told a lot of people, going, wow, that can, I guess the sexual assault can happen to men in that same way. It's very, one comment that simply said, this happens to dudes more often than you know. I thought that one summed it up in a nice way. Also want to say a huge, massive thank you to the moderators of the Beautiful Anonymous Facebook community online. You know, that's a group with close to 30,000 people now. And it's really active, and I think that's beautiful, and I thank you guys for being part of it. To my knowledge, this is one of the biggest online communities surrounding a podcast there is, end of story. And that's hard to wrangle, and that was a hard call, and there was a lot of divisive stuff, and the moderators really stepped up and were on top of it, and it means so much to me that they help out. So thank you guys all so much. Thank you guys all so much. I know that was a hard week for you guys, having to look out for all that stuff. Anyway, this week's episode, sex work. What's the definition of that? I tell you, we talk about it. And you'll hear, I am continuously in this call trying to wrap my head around it. There's a whole underground economy. There's a whole underground world revolving around sex. And it comes in many forms. And I didn't know that. And this caller experiences that and participates in that in ways that I didn't quite know existed. And this caller lays it all out. And it is fascinating to me. And I tell you, caller was really just in the thick of it, but had such a good ability to communicate it and a good sense of humor about it. And it was eye-opening. It was eye-opening and baffling and also just totally in some ways, and I say this without any judgment, there's just a strange world online, man. It's just a strange world online. You can hear all about that and more. Enjoy the call.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh my God. Oh my God, my back just got all sweaty.
Your back just got all sweaty? Is that how we're starting today?
Oh my God. Is this Chris?
Yeah, it's Chris. What's up with your sweaty back?
Oh my God. Hey, it's in my top drawer. Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
What's in your top drawer? What's in your top drawer?
A coworker of mine has a migraine and needs some help. So.
Oh, nice. So some sort of.
I'm like the pharmacy of my work.
Got it. Understood. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. I was like literally like about to hang up.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because now we get to talk for an hour. Or if you hang up, less than that.
I mean, I don't imagine that you'll say anything to make me want to hang up.
Well, that's good. I do want to just say, both for you and anybody listening in the future, you'll notice this one sounds a little different. I'm actually at my office at the Chris Gethard show. I'm not in the studio today. So if you notice some weird sound stuff, that's why.
Oh, you gotta work today.
Oh, yeah. Never get to leave this place.
That sucks.
That's what you get for following your dream.
That
well, that's what you get for following your goddamn dream.
Yeah. That sucks. You have to like work at it. Everybody thinks it's going to be so easy and it's not.
You end up working 12 hours a day, every day, getting yelled at by everybody all the time, staying in your office, stressed out on the verge of an anxiety attack for your dream.
I mean,
there's worse.
I won't yell at you.
Thank
probably.
You. That's very nice of you. I won't yell at you either. Maybe. I don't
okay.
know. Neither of
we'll,
us can
we'll
make
that
promise
that.
Actually.
Oh my God. Okay. Hold on. I need to take my cardigan off. Literally. Like, I don't know why that happened. I'm literally like so sweaty. Okay. I'm fine.
You went from sweaty to fine real quick right there.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all fine.
Great. Good.
Okay. So, I'm assuming that, they told you a little bit about what I was going to talk about.
Not really. What do we got here?
Well, I'm a little bit behind. I'm not officially caught up on all of the new I think I'm like 3 episodes behind. But the last one that I listened to was a guy who was a little bit involved in like sex work, I think.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
And I am actually more part-time now, but I was really involved in sex work. So I thought maybe it might be a little interesting to get an actual sex worker's perspective on how that is.
Well, I'm all ears. My ears have perked up. So you were a sex worker. you said you still part-time dabble, it sounds like?
Yeah. I mostly do like femdom and sugar daddy, sugar baby relationships right now, just because I'm finishing school and working full-time. So I had to cut back a little bit on it.
Yeah.
But,
so you got exams coming up. That means less.
Oh my God.
Less sugar daddy.
On my last term.
So femdom.
I'm so excited.
I'm a pretty. Oh, okay. So first of all, you should know I'm a very open-minded guy, very liberal guy. Have opinions on sex work, and you no shame with this guy, right here. Say whatever you please. I got your back. Other thing I'll say, just to, in my mind, femdom means stuff that maybe we'd all, you know, people who aren't in this world would view as like sort of on the dominatrix end of things.
Yeah, basically.
Like submissive men paying you to live out their submission fantasies?
Basically, yeah. I mostly try to stay virtual just because I am a very tiny person, so safety is very, very important to me because I'm not going to be kicking anybody's ass anytime soon.
Wait, stay virtual. You mean like the actual meeting, like the actual sessions take place online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real interesting. You wouldn't think that you could do so much over the phone or the computer, but yeah, you actually get some interesting requests. Which, oh. I mean, you do in person too, but...
Okay. Okay, I'm writing down 85 questions. Give me a second to write down every question. So... Is it exclusively virtual, or do you, cause I will say the femdom one, I can see a lot easier cause I could see people who are very fetish driven. But the you have online sugar daddy relationships, or do you sometimes meet with these guys and have sex?
I have actually never had sex with a sugar daddy.
What?
Yeah. I've never actually had sex with a sugar daddy, even the one that I do meet up with. There's one that I hang out with in person.
So there's
but all the rest of them, I have four other ones.
So you have five sugar daddies. Four of them have never met you in real life. They only, I assume, Skype or FaceTime or Google Hangouts, whatever your video app of choice is.
One of them is over Kik. It's like solely, like I send pictures sometimes, but the other ones, yeah, we have Skype sessions. And
one of them you just meet up and you hang out.
Yeah, we hang out. Like, he like, it's still like, I know that I'm like into it, like as a career, you know, sort of like as a side career, but it's still so weird calling somebody daddy to me. Or like the one that I hang out with in particular likes calling me mommy, and I just have to like hide a shudder every time he does it.
You have to keep your job is mostly just to keep a poker face as horny men with
basically
as horny men with fetishes objectify you as the person who will fulfill their fetish.
You know, it's a lot less sexual than you would expect.
Really?
Yeah, like the one that I hang out with in person, part of the reason I hang out with him is because he's such a softy. He's like a little tiny queer bear.
He's a tiny little queer bear. I'm so confused by all of this. I am confused by all of this. He's a tiny little queer bear.
That's why I want to talk about it. People have very weird conceptions about it, about sex work. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I love talking about it because people are always so surprised.
So you're pretty open about this in your life.
I try to be as much as I can just because I want to work to end the stigma around it. I'm really interested in politics. I'm going to school for political science. And I remember when I first came out to my family as being a cam model, like a couple years ago. And my parents were like, because my parents and I are very open and they're very liberal too. So when I told them, I didn't think it would be a big deal. And my dad was like, well, you realize you can't go into politics now, right?
Seems like it's actually kind of a part of politics.
So it really is politically motivated like everything else.
Yeah, you're doing it for the resume down the line.
I do it on principle.
So how do you find your clients if this is all online?
I'm sure some people might be surprised, but I actually started out on Reddit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I started out like posting pictures. It really actually started out sort of as like a self-esteem boost for me. Like I've always had like, I wouldn't say like body image issues, but I am sort of the person that's like, you know, the phrase like, oh, well, she's got a great personality. I've always applied that to myself because, you know, like I never really thought of myself as beautiful. I think I'm okay. I kind of look like a, I don't know. I think I look a little bit like a dude, but I don't know. Anyways.
Okay. That's fine.
So it started out as like, you know, sort of getting to accept my body and like it. And I didn't even think anything would come of it. But as soon as I started posting, I started getting messages, and it wasn't even the messages that necessarily built up the confidence. It was literally just the fact that, like, I was seeing myself through other people, and I was like, oh, like, you know, maybe having small boobs isn't actually that bad. Like, maybe guys actually, you know, guys and girls actually do like small tits. Like, it's kind of cool.
So were you posting, because I'll just cop to this, because I'm on record about this. Were you posting on Gone Wild? Because I'm familiar with Gone Wild. I've dabbled. I haven't posted, but I know Gone Wild. Is that where it began?
But I'm disappointed.
What's that?
You got to do it for that self-esteem. I'm disappointed. You got to do it for that self-esteem boost.
So you're recommending that I, because for anybody who doesn't know, okay. Let's just, okay, we'll just put it out there. Gone Wild is a subreddit where people post nude images of themselves. And that's it's kind of an infamous thing in the Reddit world. I'd say people can become Reddit famous, if not internet famous, if they blow up on Gone Wild. People post the nude images. And I've talked about in public, I think someone once called the Gethard Show and was like, what kind of porn do you like? And I was like, I'm not ashamed. I like Gone Wild because I know people are posting it on their own, and I know there's no exploitation, and I know it's not, you know, I'm sure some people have some issues, but in general, it seems a little more above board and empowered. So I actually know Gone Wild. There is a chance, not to get awkward, there is a chance. I have seen pictures of you naked. There's a chance I've seen your boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There's a
That's a chance. That's a thing.
There's a decent percentage chance so did you blow up a little on Reddit?
You know, I mostly was on like Petite Gone Wild.
Petite.
There's a subreddit called Tiny Tits, if you know that. I made a big boom there.
You did. You made a big splash in Tiny
really
Tits.
Where I got it.
Made a real big splash in tiny tits.
I guess I made a tiny splash.
So you're a big fish in a tiny tit pond.
Exactly.
Wow.
Just me and my, when I was a kid, we would like make superhero names for ourselves. And I guess not like kids, we're like in middle school, but my superhero name was Auntie Boob.
Oh, wow. Auntie Boob.
I know.
So
they're growing a little bit.
So you're putting your pictures, putting your pictures in these forums because maybe you've got a low self-esteem. People start responding positively, start gaining momentum, and people are following you. And then what happens? People start people start reaching out and offering you money.
So initially I got a lot of questions about like, do you cam? Do you do private Skype sessions? Do you have a Snapchat? Like those kinds of things. And I had never actually really heard of camming. Like my partner would watch cam models on like Chatterbait, and I'm bi, you know, so like we would watch it sometimes together, and I was like, oh my God, like this is kind of cool. Like, you know, like it's a site where people are only on there if they want to be, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they can just do whatever they want. And so when people started suggesting I get an account, I was like, yeah, I mean, sure, if you guys want it, like, I'll do that. That's kind of what started it. I made a website. I made a Snapchat account. People generally had to pay for it. I had sort of like a little grace period where people that were like my original fans got it for free, but after a certain point, people had to start paying for it. And I started camming.
And is that good money?
Which was, it can be. It was for a while. I mean, I was unemployed for a couple months, and it pretty much paid all of my bills, so, which is not cheap where I live.
Wow. That's rad.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's a little awkward because like most, you know, like for the most part, like you can't like see the people you're interacting with. The only way you can really talk with them is like, you know, over chat. And so you're kind of just sitting in your room with a camera pointed at you. and you're just by yourself, like just sitting there, and you have to sort of make your own show.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably know that's like you're a comedian. You have to sort of decide how you're going to entertain all of these people just staring at you, except it's a little scarier because you're naked.
Wow. I never thought about that, that being a cam model, you do have to work the crowd. You do have to keep the crowd engaged. You got to keep them focused on you. You got to make sure they don't just start talking amongst themselves and that you're kind of defining the momentum of the experience so that it's on your terms and not theirs. We have that in common.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's sort of where I got the, so I'm a really big feminist. I'm a huge feminist. And, I also try to be as not misandrist as possible. I try really hard not to hate men. It's really hard when you start learning about the patriarchy. And so I think maybe that is what fueled the femdom part of me, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Uh-huh. So if guys want to pay for you to insult them and make them lesser, that's fun for you too.
Right. I think men should give me all of their money. They don't need it. It's going to go to I'm like the Robin Hood of sugar babies.
So you're just taking money from as many men as you can to put it in your terms. This money will go back into the back into the economy based on your decisions. Yeah.
And then I also sort of become like a sugar mama to all of my friends. And it's really cool because, you know, like I've been sort of doing that with some of my friends. Like I have some friends that have some self-esteem problems. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to buy you some lingerie. I'm going to get a Polaroid camera and we're going to do a photo shoot and you're going to feel fucking awesome. And it works. It's really fun.
So you've had,
and I don't have to pay for a fucking thing.
Wow. So you've started to build a network of friends who are all participating in this together.
Yeah. My friends think it's hilarious.
Now, okay. Okay. First of all, good call. Second of all, like I said, so many questions. I want to just ask some of the basic questions. First one being, for Kik, I've never had Kik. My understanding is that it's like a texting app, right? Like it's almost like a WhatsApp type thing, right? Is it a little more anonymous?
Yeah,
is that the
you
appeal?
Don't have to like have your number.
Okay. Okay. So WhatsApp reveals your phone number. Kik does not.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's connected to your phone number. Like to use WhatsApp, you have to have your phone number associated with it, whereas with Kik, you don't have to.
Okay, that's good. And I like that this is becoming an instructional guide on how to participate in anonymous online virtual sex. This episode's going to get some downloads.
I have PowerPoints.
Oh, I want to see all
PowerPoints.
Send me the link. My Reddit name's Chris Gethard. Easy to remember. But so you have these relationships. Do people pay you like a monthly fee? Is it per a session? Is it a certain number of exchanges that they get before you have to cut them off?
It depends sort of on what we want to do. So for example, Bear, the one that I hang out with in person, generally how he and I work is he'll pay to hang out with me. So if he wants to come over and watch Queer Eye with me for a couple hours, you know, I usually charge like $100 an hour. So that ends up being like a couple $100.
He pays you $100 an hour to sit on your couch and watch Netflix with you?
Yeah. I mean, I play with his hair sometimes.
You play with his hair? And that's honest to God as far as it's gone.
Yep. I mean, like I've had 10 before.
You've had what before?
But I've hugged him before, you know, like given him a hug.
And he gives you $100 an hour.
Yeah. Or like the thing I like about him is I can pretty much just hit him up whenever and just be like, hey, I want to order Postmates. Can you give me $30? And he'll be like, yes, of course, queen. And, you know, then I have $30.
I have to tell you, Harry and Jared are in my office with me as we tape this. All three of us are sitting here with what can only be described as the most bewildered looks on our faces.
How did you get this sweet ass gig?
That's honestly the face that I have when I get it.
How did you get this sweet ass gig? I think that's a good question, right? How do you get a gig like this? I bet there's some people out there wondering. Well, maybe we'll get more specifics on that when we come back. In the meantime, we got ads. They got promo codes. Use them if you are so inclined. It helps the show when you do. We'll be right back with more phone call. Clementine Juanmaria was 6 years old when her mother and father began to speak in whispers, when neighbors began to disappear. In 1994, she and her 15-year-old sister, Claire, fled the Rwandan massacre, spent the next 6 years migrating through seven African countries searching for safety. They were hungry, imprisoned, abused, enduring and escaping refugee camps. It's a very human story that we're talking about. When Clementine was 12, she and her sister were granted refugee status in the United States. Clementine was taken in by a family, raised her as their own, and on the surface, lived the American dream. Private school, cheerleading, ultimately graduating from Yale. Yet, the years of being treated as less than human, of going hungry, of seeing death, couldn't be erased. In The Girl Who Smiled Beads, authors Clementine and Elizabeth Wilde provoke us to look beyond the label of victim, to recognize the power of imagination to transcend even the most profound injuries and aftershocks. Devastating yet beautiful, The Girl Who Smiled Beads is a powerful testament to Clementine's commitment to constructing a life on her own terms. Are you hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find those great people. There's got to be a better system than just posting your job online and then praying for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beautiful. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beautiful. ZipRecruiter.com/beautiful. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thanks to all the advertisers who helped this show happen. Now let's get back to the phone call. How did you get this sweet-ass gig? That is...
Honestly, think it's...
Honestly, it's what?
It's bizarre, isn't it? I think it's because I'm a nice person.
And do you just...
I mean, like...
Do you just laugh all the way to the bank?
I listen to them. I mean, to myself, I don't laugh to them. That would be so mean.
Right.
But I mean, I'm a fairly emotionally intelligent person. So a lot of it is like, you know, there's like actually a lot of emotional labor that people don't really think about that goes into sex work. Like a lot of sex workers will tell you that it's really not about the sex. Like sex is kind of a misnomer. Like, of course, people are there to like see you naked and whatever, but a lot of the time it's people that just want to have conversations and just want to talk about, like, so with Bear, he's like the example I'll use, like, he's in a relationship and a lot of the time he'll talk to me about like, hey, like my girlfriend is going through like some PTSD stuff from her abusive ex. Like what's a way that I can help her? You know, like, how can I help her adjust to this? What can I do to be a good partner to her? And I sort of counsel him.
So it's almost it's almost like a therapy relationship.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just like, you know, like I don't take on clients that I wouldn't be friends with because you really do have to have some sort of an authentic relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you can't fake it. Like people that are just, because I mean, I'm in it obviously for the money. It's awesome. But I'm also in it because I think that a lot of men just really want emotional connection and want to learn how to have emotional connections with other people. And that's why I do it. You know, it's like 60-40.
Okay. And how much do you get paid for the virtual only sessions, these Kick relationships?
Well, the one on Kick that I have, his is generally like a monthly stipend. So he'll send me, I would say like It's usually like $2,000 to $3,000 a month.
What?
But that's for like.
What?
It's actually not that much.
Yes, it is.
Well, I mean, it is, but it's not like that much compared to like some of the other girls.
That's more than my mortgage.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
You're getting two.
Do you want to get in on this?
Yeah, what do I got to do? How?
I'll just hand over my Kick account to you.
Oh, Chris Gethers, the guy from Beautiful Anonymous, the takeover. All of a sudden, people start getting pictures of a different kind. Wait, how many hours are you working? How much of an investment of your time are you giving over for $2,000 to $3,000 a month? And that's for one person or total amongst those four?
That's just for the Kick.
That's just for one?
That's for, that's for, we call him Poppy.
So there's a guy named Poppy who gives you $2,000 to $3,000 a month, which is more than...
Yeah, but I mean, that's so that he can talk to me anytime he wants. I mean, like, day or night, 24/7.
Okay. Great. But
that's a lot of effort.
Yeah, but... Okay. But let's be honest. Let's be honest.
People are so exhausting, Chris. Men are so exhausting. Like, sorry not to get into the misandry, but do you realize how exhausting, emotionally unintelligent men are? Like, it's so much effort.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, I think emotionally, I think there's people in general who are exhausting, right? I've had relationships with exhausting females.
I do find people exhausting.
Yeah, humans in general.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of good ones, too. $2,000 to $3,000 a month from Poppy.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Why are you even working a day gig?
Because I want the benefits, and I also I like having stability, if that makes sense. Like, not that, like, they aren't stable necessarily, but I like knowing that I am providing myself and with money, and that it's also for the health insurance.
Right. And there's also the chance, I would imagine, that this dries up at some point.
Right, exactly. And that's sort of why I stopped camming.
Listen, you and I are recording this 2 days before tax season, and there's a high percentage chance that Poppy's accountant in 2 days, Poppy's accountant opens up his file and goes, "Hey, Poppy, the fuck is this $36,000 expense for you to talk to someone?"
I'm not too worried about Poppy.
So Poppy's a fucking billionaire.
I should be asking him for a lot more.
Poppy's...
He gets off easy.
So this guy, like...
Is
Poppy Bill Gates? What's going on?
Right? I actually... I let him stay a little bit more anonymous just because I think he is a little bit more of like a higher-end client. So I like to afford him some privacy.
Jeez.
Which is why I refer to him as Poppy.
So that's all you know him as?
Like, oh my God. Yeah.
Wow.
I remember the first time I realized, like, holy shit, this guy is not joking. When he showed me, he did a video walkthrough of his, like, I don't even feel like apartment is the right word. There has to be a word for, like, apartment mansion because, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was like 8 rooms with like a living room that's like bigger than my apartment. Like, oh my God, I wanted to kill myself. I was like, where's mine?
So all told, all five guys, on average, how much are you pulling down a month for these sugar daddy relationships?
Gosh, I'm so bad at math, which I really shouldn't be. I would probably say... close to like $8,000 to $10,000 a month.
You're making 6 figures a year or just under it for texting people on your phone and hanging out with them, touching his hair. Kudos to you. Kudos to you, my friend.
I mean, it's not like I'm living lavishly or anything. Like, I still, you know, like, I still shop at like Winco and like try to live. I mean, like, I'm paying off student loans. I'm helping my family. You know, it's not like I'm just over here like buy Louis Vuittons or whatever is that kids do nowadays.
You're not popping bottles in the club, making it rain.
Oh God, no, I can't even really drink that much. I'm so boring.
And is this income, do you pay taxes on it, or is this all under the table?
I mean, I should. I think I should be, and I'm really hoping I never get audited.
You got to launder this? You got to pretend you own a car wash, like Walter White? Buy a car wash.
I use Cash App, and I try to spread it out. So, like, with PayPal, if you get more than $2,500 a year through PayPal, they automatically report it to the IRS, and you have to send them, like, information for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I use PayPal for two of my Skype clients because their revenue doesn't get anywhere near that.
Right.
And for Bear, we use the Cash App because it's instant, and he's like my ATM.
Okay. Speaking of Bear, so you referred to him as a little queer bear. Do you mean?
Yeah.
Because that is a phrase. Calling someone a bear means someone who's a little bit larger and hairier in the gay world. Do you mean he's a queer bear in that sense, or is he a straight man that you just have nicknamed? This is a homosexual male?
Well, he's bisexual. Like I said, he has a girlfriend.
Okay.
He's very queer.
You live in a very specific fringe of the world. I like hearing about it.
Literally, like, never guess. Like, if you saw me walking down the street, you wouldn't think that I don't think that I dress lavishly or anything, because I wasn't really raised like that. Like, I was raised, you know, I wouldn't say, like, incredibly poor, but I mean, it's not like we were able to go on vacations all the time, and, you know, my parents would fight about money a lot, and especially after my parents got divorced, like, I had to get another underground job when I was like 14 to help take care of my siblings because my dad was out of the picture, and my mom would like sleep all day and then be out for days at a time partying. So
wow. When you say underground job,
like,
what does that mean?
I realize that sounds a little like, it's just, I don't like throwing. I mean, I used to help my friend deal drugs. So, because my mom like wouldn't like basically the money she got from my dad during the divorce, she wouldn't use for us. So I had to like, you know, feed my little brother and my little sister.
Wow. So you've always been a scrapper.
I had a friend who, I mean, you have to, when you're in that situation, you know what I mean? I mean, like the sex work was because I was unemployed. Like I needed something.
Wow. Do you find the sex work takes a toll emotionally or on your own romantic life or in any way?
I mean, it was definitely more exhausting, like, when I started, because I wasn't used to, like, the volume. Like, it really is, like, feeling overwhelmed, like, you know, because and I'm sure people that, like, there are probably women that post, that, like, are listening, that post on here. Like, when you post, you get hundreds of messages, like, hundreds. And sometimes they're really fucked up. And that's coming from somebody that has seen fucked up messages.
Wow. Like, these are the messages you get on Reddit?
People that,
Are these the messages you get on Reddit?
Yeah.
So you,
usually how I pick up clients.
So you post a picture on Reddit, hundreds of messages come in. What type of fucked up stuff are we talking?
Oh God, here, let me go through my messages 1 second. Let me see if I can find. I mean, like, even if they're not fucked up, like, you know, like, I'm just looking at it right now, like, scrolling through, like, seeing if I fly out to see you, can we fuck? Oh, well, hello there, gorgeous. What's your opinion on taking men? I just have to let you know you look so sexy. Which Pokemon does it? Oh, I have a Pokemon necklace. You know, like, just like tons of things. Like, it's, let's see, do you accept offers to cheer you up from lonely men? Like, I mean, if that cheering up means money, then sure. But like, here, let me see. God, there was one, I can't remember, like, obviously verbatim what it was, but basically it was like probably like a 5-paragraph message outlining this like very detailed like rape fantasy that this guy had.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, which was pretty alarming.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that was very, very startling, especially since I'm like a, you know, I'm a survivor of sexual assault. So that will definitely not be something I don't think you could pay me enough to do.
Oh, yeah, that seems like one to avoid. That seems like one to avoid.
Yeah, I usually tend to report those people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
But when I do get those messages, I also tend to suggest to the person to seek help, like to seek some sort of psychiatric help.
Right.
I don't just ignore them. You know, I'll say, look, like, I'm not really into this. If this is something you're seriously considering acting out, I would suggest going to a professional psychiatrist, discuss best ways you can do this, what's causing you to think this, if it's truly just something you want and not something you're actually intending to do, then cool, you'll find somebody. But I don't do those.
Yeah. So do you date?
Like, do you know who Dan Savage is?
Yeah, I know who Dan Savage is.
Yeah, so he calls those, like, he likes to call those ravishment, I think they're ravishment fantasies. You know, so like you can kind of tell the difference between like rape fantasies and ravishment fantasies, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And to answer your question, yeah, I actually have a partner. We've been together for 2.5 years. This will be our 3rd year.
Yeah. And your partner, I would imagine you seem so open. Your partner's well aware of your sidekick. How do they feel about it?
Yeah. He's actually the one that encouraged me to post on Reddit the first time.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. You mentioned that.
Yeah. So he is totally happy about it. Like, I mean, he's great. He's honestly, like, anytime I, you know, because, like, we're in an open relationship, so we always check in with each other before we do anything, with, you know, even with, like, my sex work. And he's always of the mindset, like, do whatever makes you happy, you know?
Wow.
Which is nice.
Wow.
If you don't have a partner telling you to do what makes you happy, then maybe you should reconsider your relationship.
Right. Of course.
I mean, unless doing what makes you happy is like harming other people, then definitely don't do that.
Or hurting them, at which point you got to have a discussion about that.
Yeah. Exactly. Everything with emotional intelligence.
Now, you're studying political science. What is it that you want to accomplish in the world of politics?
Well, I mean, such a big question. I mean, I'd like to get, I mean, okay, in a perfect world, I would become president and bitch slap this country into shape. But I don't think that'd make for a very good slogan.
I think that's a great slogan. Great slogan.
I think I could probably get away with it.
Who would your running mate? Who's the ideal running mate? If you run for president with the slogan, I'm going to bitch slap this country into shape, who's your ideal running mate?
Oh, man. You know, I feel like this is maybe a little bit, maybe I would change my mind, but I really dig Cardi B right now. I think maybe she would be my VP.
Cardi B. I thought you were going to say like Cory Booker.
No, I don't. I mean, unless I came into somebody that maybe was, you know, like in line with what I was wanting to do, sure. But I mean,
if you're going to say Tammy Duckworth,
famous people, I'd totally pick Cardi B.
Cardi B. Let's bitch slap this country.
I love her.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And she would just stand there and go, oh,
now, can I ask how old you are? Is that inappropriate? You don't have to share, but can I ask how old you are?
Oh, no. Yeah, I am 23.
23? Wow, you've lived a lot for 23.
Yeah. I can't believe people expect me to do this for another, like, 60 years.
Do what? Just in general, stay alive?
Yeah, just in general, stay alive. Thank God I'm on Zoloft.
I tell you, well, I'm on Lamictal and Wellbutrin over here.
I tell you, I was walking down the street yesterday. I'm about to turn 38 next month. And I was walking down the street running. I was like running late to the Comedy Cellar, stressed about when we get there on time. Got off the subway and I was like, in my head, pops into my head. I'm like, you're like probably maybe halfway through life. You have to double this. You have to double this bullshit.
Oh my God.
I tell you, I sometimes.
And you're just like, why?
I know. I sometimes sit around and get actually mad that modern medicine has expanded the human lifespan so much. I'm like, I'm turning 38. I should be a great grandfather on my deathbed, biologically.
Right. People should be like respecting you and your opinions as an elder.
I would love to see that day come. I would love to see that day come. My opinions get respected. Someday that'll happen.
Elder Gethard.
Oh boy. That'll be the day. That'll be the day.
Ugh.
Human lifespan.
At least I have a good retirement plan.
Yeah. What's your retirement plan?
It's actually the only part of my life that I actually have planned out in some detail. When I turn 64, I'm going to sing the Beatles song. That's one of the reasons I never committed suicide is because I have to turn 64 and sing that song. My one goal.
Wow.
After I turn 64, I'm going to retire to Canada and get a fleet of Russian bear dogs and raise them on a farm. And then when America dissolves into its next civil war, I'm going to ride into battle with my fleet of Russian bear dogs and take over.
What are you talking about? Russian bear dogs. A squadron of Russian bear. Few things have deserved a what are you talking about more in the history of this show than this particular stretch. I need to get my head together after that. You know what? Ads. That's a great way to get your head together. Advertisements for products and services that you might need in your life. Check them out. Use the promo codes. Helps the show when you do. We'll be back soon with more phone call. Breakfast. That's how you start your day. You want to start that day right. You want to come out of the gate strong with something that makes you happy, right? You're looking for a breakfast that's worth skipping the snooze button. Thomas's is the only breakfast brand that delivers a one-of-a-kind eating experience with its original Nooks and Crannies English muffin. There's nothing quite like it. You remember it from when you're a kid. You remember it from recent times because you're addicted. How can you not be? These things are delicious. That Nooks and Crannies texture, perfectly toasted, irresistible, crispy edges, a soft, warm center. Take it from a true fan. I've been eating these things since I was about 3 years old, okay? I'm about to turn 38. This is 3.5 decades of experience. Can't beat the texture. There's a secret too. You want to reveal that texture, that perfect Nooks and Crannies goodness? Pull it apart gently. Okay, get that Thomas's English muffin split into halves. Don't use a knife. It's the brute way. It's the brutish way. Use a fork if you have to. Pry it open. Toast each half. Get that butter on it right away. Roy, when it comes out of that toaster, you get that butter on there so it can melt in. So those Nooks and Crannies can collect it in little pools. The dough can soak some of it up, giving it a delicious burst of flavor in every warm, toasty, buttery bite. If you haven't had them already, you gotta toast and butter some Thomas's Nooks and Crannies English muffins. They're truly like no other. Thanks again to everybody who advertises on this show and helps us bring it to the world. Now let's finish off the phone call.
And when America dissolves into its next civil war, I'm gonna ride into battle with my fleet of Russian bear dogs and take over.
What are you talking about?
Don't tell me that that isn't the greatest plan ever.
What are Russian bear dogs and why are you going to build an army of them? What are you talking about?
Because they're fucking cute. They're so cute. Look, Google it. You have a computer, right? Google Russian bear dogs. They're so cute.
I'm in front of my...
They're big, fluffy dogs.
Let me look at this.
And so, like, I'm a tiny person. I'm, like, 5'2", weigh about, like, 100 pounds. I could ride a Russian bear dog easily.
Yeah, these dogs are huge. I'm looking them up now. These dogs are huge. Yeah. You weren't kidding.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably ride one.
So you're gonna go and... Okay. Okay. This is taking minutes.
You can come visit my farm of Russian bear dogs.
In 40 years, I'll be 78 years old. Come visit your farm of Russian bear dogs.
Yeah, you'll still be young. You'll still be getting pissed off about having to go through another 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, this, Why did they invent penicillin? Whoever invented penicillin is a monster. No, penicillin has saved many lives.
You know who else is a monster?
Who's that?
The person that invented microwaves. Why did you let me have a thing that can enable me to eat such shitty food?
Yeah, the penicillin and microwave industry has dominated American life for far too long. No, before I hear about it, before people start tweeting at me, let me just say, penicillin has saved many, many lives. I'm aware of that. I was making jokes. I am a comedian. Of course, I don't think that penicillin is a bad thing.
Microwaves have also saved lots of lives.
Yeah, I mean, without microwaves, you got no Hot Pockets.
Don't at me.
Who wants to live in a world without Hot Pockets?
I think anybody that's ever eaten Hot Pocket and had it ravage their stomach would probably agree with us.
Looks like you just cost me one potential advertiser. Looks like Hot Pockets is never going to get on board with Oh, Beautiful Anonymous. Order Hot Pockets today.
Yeah, well.
Promo code is...
promo code is sexwork420.
Yeah, promo code is tiny tits.
Oh, my God.
Now, do you have...
Petite Hot Pockets.
Is this something you plan on riding out? Because you're 23 years old. I mean, this is something that could last a while in your life. Or are you looking for an exit strategy on this?
I mean, I could pretty much end it whenever I want, you know, like I'm not like contractually obligated to any of these people, although I've had people ask if I would ever sign a contract with them, which no thanks.
What's that, like a non-disclosure type thing?
I've had a couple people like want to basically have me be a live-in with them, but I would have to sign some sort of an NDA.
Whoa.
Which I'm not about.
But you'll go, like, get a room in some rich person's house, and they'll have you there. And you'll be, like, an employee of some weird LLC that's just a bunch of numbers and letters.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Just somewhere in, like, the Maldives or whatever. That would actually be kind of cool. If anybody wants to take me to the Maldives.
Is it Maldives? I think it's Maldives. Can we look up the pronunciation on that, please?
Is it Maldives?
Or Maldives.
Okay, you know what?
We all
learn together. Maldives.
What's that?
I've always said Maldives, and I've had so many friends say Maldives.
Maldives. I don't know. I could be wrong.
But I never felt like that was right.
Is that the one off the coast of Sri Lanka?
Maybe.
Where I just was?
Oh, Sri Lanka would be great, too. Sri Lanka is beautiful.
Oh, my God. It was the best. No, and you got three people in this room all separately looking up how to pronounce
Maldives.
Maldives. Thank you. Someone just played the... You... Could you hear
was
that?
Was I wrong?
I don't know if that was Jared or Harry.
No,
that
I did.
Jared got his computer to say the word Maldives. Maldives. But yeah.
So it is Maldives.
I think it is the one off the coast of Sri Lanka, where I just was.
Best. That's such a, like, boring, Americanized way to pronounce such a beautiful place. Maybe that's just me, but that's just, like, Maldives. Like, I don't know. It sounds like a shitty dive bar somewhere.
Can I ask you a hard question?
Sure.
You mentioned your parents brought some drama into your life. Mentioned that you had to, help your siblings survive. You mentioned that you dealt drugs to do that. Now you're in sex work. An interesting layer of sex work, not what everybody thinks of when they think of sex work. Something that sounds like, at the very least, not the most physically risky type of sex work.
Which is why I like it.
There's definitely other types out there. But do you consider your participation in sex work an extension of the hard aspects of your life, or is it separate in your mind?
I mean, that's like the question, you know, is a lot of people assume that people that get into sex work have been victims of sexual assault or abuse, which, I mean, a lot of that is true, but I think you would be hard pressed to find any industry that doesn't have people that were subjected to sexual abuse. You know what I mean? So I think maybe on some level, I just am more accustomed to being in industries that you sort of have to struggle to be in. But I've also always been a very independent person, you know, like my parents used to make fun of me because, like, you know, like my little brother was a mama's boy, my little sister was a daddy's girl, and I could have given a shit about either of them. So
yeah,
I've always been pretty independent. And I think being, I don't like being told what to do, when to do it. Having an office job is very difficult for somebody like me because I do not have an office personality.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself
so difficult?
Do you consider yourself a happy person?
I think I'm definitely getting there. I'm a lot happier now than I was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I would definitely say that. I don't know. I mean, is anybody really happy? I don't know. I think having depression is sort of like, I don't know, it kind of skews how you view happiness. Like, to me, happiness is not being depressed, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't know if that makes sense.
Hitting a neutral point. Hitting a neutral point where your head is clear is a good place to be.
Yeah. But I mean, I have been pretty happy recently. Like, so my partner and I have been together for a couple of years now. And he finally told me he loves me, which fucking finally. So that was really nice. That's made me real happy lately. Kept me going a little bit.
We haven't.
Term is real difficult.
You and I haven't been saying sorry, Sally, after we curse, but that's for anybody listening wondering why.
No, I told myself I would apologize to your mom and to Aunt Sally. I'm so sorry.
I'm telling
you, it's going to keep happening.
I was just going to say that we don't have to apologize because she turned this one off a while ago. She turned this one off.
Okay.
As soon as she heard sex work, she went click. As soon as you were like, I'm a sex worker.
No.
And I was like, that's cool. She was like, I don't want to know what my son thinks
about
this.
But mom, I could give you so many tips.
Okay. Let's watch it.
Not sex tips. I mean, obviously she didn't need any help with that. You're here.
Okay. Let's everybody take a deep breath.
All right, I'll
please.
Dial it back. I'm sorry. You're going to start yelling at me.
Wow.
Oh, God.
What would you say?
Go ahead.
I'm going to ask, because you seem so well-adjusted in conversation, but you've described a lot of hard stuff, and you've also described a life now that is technically still outside the law, right? Maybe. I don't know. Is it?
It definitely is. Like, doing escort stuff, that's definitely not legal.
Mm-hmm.
And cam work is sort of a gray area.
What would you say, is the thing that defines you the most, or has defined you the most? Because you mentioned so much.
Mm-hmm. God, that's such a hard question. I think the thing that like has sort of defined me the most is, honestly, I think, do you know what IB is? The International Baccalaureate Program.
Did not see this answer coming. No, fill me in on the International Baccalaureate Program. Did I pronounce that right?
So basically, it's a two-year program for high school students. They do it their junior and senior year. And so, you know, you have like regular high school classes, early college classes, AP classes, and then IB is like way up there. Like, so I did this program in high school, and it was probably the hardest thing that I've ever done. Like, college is a fucking breeze compared to IB. And it destroyed my psyche when I graduated. Like, it fucking ruined me. Like, there's a month of testing that you have to do at the end of it that covers all 2 years of your study. And I basically, like, lived on a blanket in my living room for a month, like, preparing and doing these tests. And, you know, on top of going through a divorce, which really ended up lasting 5 years.
Is that your parents' divorce?
You know, my parents are divorced, yeah.
And that's what, so you, not you, you weren't divorced?
No, not me. Jesus Christ. I would never, oh my God. If I, first of all, I would never get married. And if I did get married, that bitch is signing a prenup. Like, dead ass, never dealing with that.
Just to make sure I heard right, you did just say the phrase, that bitch is getting a prenup. That is what I heard?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Just making sure. Just making sure that I heard the phrase, that bitch is getting a prenup. Just making sure.
I mean, I work in a law firm. I have to know what that is.
So school.
Yeah, I think.
Not the divorce, yeah, not being a survivor of sexual assault. School is what fucked you up the most.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, I think sexual assault has certainly shaped me into who I am today, but not for reasons that I think people would think. It's not that it, I mean, it is traumatizing and it is something that I still work through. You know, I still get panic attacks sometimes when something triggers me a little bit. But I think what it did for me was get me interested in feminism. Like, so the day after I was first assaulted when I was 15, we had sex ed class that day. And apparently we were doing a rape prevention class. And my teacher was like a 50-year-old white dude from Texas who should not have been teaching sex ed. And he started the class by saying, let's say you're running late to school, you get in your car, you start your car, and you realize you forgot your backpack in your house. So you leave your keys in your car, you go back into your house to get your backpack, and you come back out and your car is gone. Whose fault is it? And everybody in the class was like, the asshole that stole your car? And he was like, no, you know, you have a responsibility to keep yourself safe. And then he pauses and goes, rape is kind of like that.
Oh, geez.
And as you know, and I didn't know anything about rape culture, about victim blame, but something in me knew that that wasn't right. Like, as guilty as I felt in that moment and as disgusting as I felt in that moment, I knew it wasn't me, but I didn't know why. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started researching and I got really interested in feminism and feminist theory and, you know, sort of went through the typical things that, you know, people go through when they learn about a huge oppressive system. You know, you get angry and you want to learn more. So I think maybe that did change who I am in a lot of ways and sort of started me on my lifelong passion of feminism and advocacy. But I think ultimately it was, I think what shapes my life now is trying to put the pieces back together after a really grueling educational experience, especially going through college at the same time. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. I never liked school myself either. Never liked school myself.
Oh my God, don't do it. Don't do it.
No.
It's not worth it.
And my mom's going to kill me if this comes up again. People should...
I'm sorry, Mom.
But it sounds like it served you well. Like you're working in a law firm. You're still going to school, it sounds like, right? Political science, still studying it?
Yep. It's my last term, graduate in June.
And that's with your bachelor's degree?
Yeah.
And you're
not... Bachelor of Arts, because I don't want to do math.
Yeah, screw math. Math is...
Fuck math.
No bueno. So you're at work right now.
Yeah, I'm on my lunch break. I decided to take my lunch super early.
How's your coworker's migraine doing?
You know, I haven't asked. I should message him and see how he's doing. I love making fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'll ask how he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How you feeling? Okay. Yeah, I'm at work right now. Actually, how much longer on our call do we have?
We have about 5 minutes. But if you got to go, you could be second hang-up in history.
Nah, I do what I want.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, I get that impression.
I'm an office assistant. I'm not doing anything crazy right now.
And wait, are there days where you're texting Pappy all day? And he's coming on strong and it's emotionally exhausting and you get home and your partner needs some attention and you just don't have it left in you?
No, I don't think so. At least not with my partner. Like, he's He is very like low-key. Like, I think if we didn't live together and if I didn't talk to him all the time, we would probably like never talk or see each other. He would be like perfectly content to just stay at home on his video games all day.
All right.
So he's real easy. I'm the like high maintenance one in our relationship. I'm like, can we hang out 24/7? Like, I don't even want to do anything. I just want to like sit next to you.
That's nice. You just sit next to him while he plays video games?
Yeah, just sit there messaging all of my clients.
So there's nights you have where he'll be playing video games and you'll be on the couch with your feet up on his lap. He's holding the controller high and you're texting a mysterious millionaire you only know as Poppy, who's telling you about all of his sexual fantasies towards you. And then you occasionally text him a naked picture. That's a thing that happens in your life on a semi-regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it helps me figure out like things to say.
Okay, we're going to bleep.
Oh, no, I said his name.
We're going to bleep the partner's name. So Poppy doesn't know this, but there's sometimes where your partner is like, tell Poppy, Poppy would like it if you said this. Like your partner is sometimes giving you that perspective of like, all right, you know what, you tell Poppy. Tell Poppy you're going to step on his nuts.
Like, yeah. Oh, my God. Poppy's such a weirdo. Poppy is definitely the weirdest client I've ever had. I wish I could tell you more stories of him.
Poppy likes pain, but like every once in a while your partner's like, tell Poppy you're going to make him wear a dog leash and drag him around on the floor. And if he tries to prop himself up on his hands and knees, you're going to put your high heel on the side of his neck.
Oh my God. Do you want to hear kind of a gross story?
Yes.
Real quick?
Yes.
Okay. I figured. I just wanted to make sure consent is important.
Thank you so much. You're teaching me. You're teaching me. Teaching moment, learning moment.
So part of what got Poppy and I started is he really liked these boots I used to wear. They were like super gross. Like they had like holes in the toes and the heels were all run down and broken. Like I could never wear them when it rained because my feet would just get soaked. He loved these things. I don't know why. Was like in love with these shoes. And so he paid me to mail them to him. And then as soon as he got them, he called me and he was like, what do you want me to do with them?
Wow.
And I was like, well, what do you want to ask me to do with them?
Right. Let's step outside the fantasy minute and give me some guidance here, Poppy.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to lick them clean.
Whoa.
So I told him, I gave him permission. And he cleaned those shoes probably better than they had been cleaned since I saw them, like on the shelf. I did not do a video for that because I was gagging so bad. Oh my God. It was so bad.
But then do you have
to
write?
I had to take a Zofran so I didn't throw up.
So you're fighting back vomit, but then do you have to write him and say like, oh, that turns me on, you pig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I had my voice on. So like, I'm like muting every time I'm gagging and then coming back on and encouraging him. And
you're like, lick those boots clean, you slave. And then you put it on mute and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And you come back on and you're like, crawl.
That's literally
on.
What it was.
And then you get back on voice. You're like, crawl on your hands and knees, you pig. You're my money pig.
Get back on. And I'm
money.
Like, you missed a spot, you fat, sick sack of shit. Like, what are you doing?
And he's like,
disrespectful.
And he's like licking a boot while he's rolling around on the ground playing himself with himself. Like, that's the type of thing.
Yeah.
Wow. I was complaining at the beginning of this call because my gig is TV show host. I was complaining about being a TV show host at the top of this call.
Hey, I mean, every job comes with stress. It's not a competition.
You're like, you worthless sack of shit. You clean the part where my feet touched. You get in that boot. You get your weak little tongue all the way in that boot and lick
it
clean.
I'm so surprised that he didn't go to the hospital. Those shoes were disgusting.
We have about 10 seconds left. What a beautiful story to end on. Thank you for all your insight and openness.
Yeah, have a great day. Good luck with work. Thanks for talking.
Thank you. Caller, thank you so much. What an eye-opening experience, especially that boot stuff at the end. That was very illuminating. Thanks for walking us through your world, and I hope everything's good. Hope everything's good with you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for everybody who listens to the show. It really means a lot. Thank you to Harry Nelson, Jared O'Connell, who walked all the way here and then in the warm sun, slogged it over here in the warm sun, set up in my office. It means a lot. Thanks, John DeLore and Greta Cohn, for helping build the show. Thank you, Shell Shag, for the intro music. ChrisGeth.com, that's where my touring dates are. I got a lot of stand-up dates up there right now. You check it out. See if any of them are in your town. They just might be. I got like 8 or 9 cities up there right now. Any hoots, if you want to help the show, Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. It really does help more than you know. That's all the business. We'll see you next time on Beautiful Anonymous. Shut your eyes. Envision the perfect breakfast in your head. You and I both know what's popping into your brain right now. It's not eggs. It's not pancakes. It's a Thomas's Original Nooks and Crannies English Muffin. That's what you're seeing. That's the breakfast always worth getting out of bed for. There's nothing quite like the irresistible Nooks and Crannies texture. Perfectly toasted, crispy edges, a soft, warm center. That butter, it pools inside those little nooks and crannies. It's amazing. It's delicious. It's a burst of flavor in every warm, toasty, buttery bite. Thomas's Nooks and Crannies English Muffins are truly like no other. Next time on Beautiful Anonymous, someone who's trying to change the world. Have you worked on cases with people where, you know, you think you have a chance of helping and then they are put to death?
Yeah. Although I'll say this, I have been incredibly lucky as a lawyer working in this field in that 99% of cases that I have been a part of, that I have touched, that I have become emotionally attached to and invested have avoided execution. Some of them very last minute.
That's next time on Beautiful Anonymous.
Hey guys, unfortunately I have some bad news. My name is Hayes. I'm here with my friend Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean.
We're the hosts of Hollywood Handbook. They asked us to come onto this show and break the news to everyone that the show you were just listening to is unfortunately broken.
Yeah, it's really just one of those things. Every once in a while, a podcast fully breaks and you can't listen to it for a while. While it's under construction, sort of, you know, when they shut down the roads and there's like detour signs so that you can still get where you're going, even though it's not the way that you wanted to go. You can detour over to Hollywood Handbook, listen to our podcast instead, just until this podcast is fixed.
Our podcast is running, and I think the podcast you were listening to is going to be broken for about a year.
And honestly, when those detours happen, sometimes I find
you
a new route.
You discover, make new little discoveries.
A better route.
Yes, and find like a roadside diner that's so interesting. The host of it are very smart. So listen to Hollywood Handbook. It's a guide to Hollywood, but it's not
it's
even
fake.
Really that
it
anymore.
Sucks.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.